For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm gonna go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Hey everybody, it's Shift and Steer. We're back in the studio.
Let's do this. Let's give a little love to our friends over at Geico.
Let's do that.
You know, either way, if you rent your home or own your home, it can be a lot of work. But of course, you know what's easy. That's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. Also want to shout out to our friends at Meguiar's, longtime friends of ours at Meguiar's. Over the last few years, Meguiar's has launched the next generation of protective products specifically geared toward DIYers. It's their hybrid ceramic line of products. They have their spray wax with the SiO2 advanced hybrid technology, delivers a ceramic wax protection and durability beyond traditional wax. They have the liquid wax version as well. It's that long-lasting ceramic wax protection in a easy-to-use liquid wax. They have their hybrid ceramic spray detailer. This is great for removing dust prints, fingerprints, dust, bird droppings, pretty much anything. Oh, it just gets that nice little added boosted shine. And, of course, their new product is their hybrid ceramic wash and wax. It's the unique liquid. It says two liquid. It's a two-part system, two liquids together. You mix them all in one bucket, and it washes and protects all in one easy task, activity, Sunday morning. Saturday morning?
Endurance when event.
Are you a wash your car Friday afternoon so you can go out on the town? Are you a Saturday morning guy?
When I was in high school and it was cruise night on Friday night.
Friday.
Oh, man.
Come home from school Friday.
Go to the quarter car wash and then go out back and detail that sucker
up every Friday afternoon.
That's right. But now I'm working on Friday.
Now you got to do stuff. Well, Meguiar's has a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone. It's ceramic made easy. It's Meguiar's.
Shift and Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Thanks, Meguiar's. Thanks, Geico. We're back in the studio. Matt and I are, at least. Aaron's up in the pollen rattlesnake tick-infested Tahoe.
And loving it. It's heaven on earth.
That's right, man. When it's not snowing and miserable, it's got all the other things going on. And this year, you guys didn't even enjoy the annual boat regatta, correct? Because the lake water was too low?
Well, I don't know if it's too low, but I think they got rid of that a couple years ago, the whole boat thing.
No, not the hobo thing.
The wooden boat show. Yeah, I think it's been gone a couple years.
Oh, I thought I had read that this was the first year they hadn't had it, and it was because of the water level's too low and stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe. Yada, yada, yada. I think the reality was attendance was too low.
Yeah, that could be. What I did hear, though, the positive is they're going to refill the lake with a pump that comes from the dirty Southern California water, so it won't be crystal clear anymore. I'm sorry to say, but it will be full.
Full of snails.
Yeah. So, hey, today we're going to talk about a rock star that had an amazing car collection that nobody knew about, at least around here, and I don't think very many people were aware of it. And it's going to go up for sale because he passed away earlier this year, and we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about a buddy of mine's got a car for sale on Bring a Trailer. We've been talking about Bring a Trailer cars and sales on air, and it's another one. And, hey, the Woodward Dream Cruise is back.
Yes, it is. So is Roadkill Nights.
Yeah, everything's coming back.
Yeah. So I guess we're going to SEMA.
Yeah, everything's coming back till fall when the COVID comes back and kills us all.
It's going to be deadlier than ever.
It's the something-something strain, you know? Hey, Woodward Dream Cruise is coming back this year. Returns for 2021, which is great. Remember, they tried to do it right up to the end last year, and then they were like, it's not going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
They thought maybe they could squeak it in there, but the date is August 21st.
Okay. So that's right. August is nuts. It's the weekend right after Monterey Car Week.
Like it always is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's either before or after, and when you're there, people have just came from it or they're just going to it, you know? And it really down for me and for Matt and Aaron, it's really down to, do we have enough in the budget for the jet fuel to go to Woodward after, you know?
Right.
That's the only decision making.
It's the largest cruise in the country.
Is that
the largest gathering, largest cruise, or it's got some pretty impressive specs behind
it? It is the largest. It's got a lot of activities. And you know what a lot of people don't realize, and maybe we just take it for granted because we know the heritage and like that, but Woodward, I mean, back in the day, Woodward Boulevard in Detroit was almost notorious because it was this cruise, but the guys from the factories would bring these muscle cars out. I would have loved to have been around back then and seen like the Silver Bullet, which was a Hemi GTX Plymouth that some guys from engineering would bring out, and they would street race, and that's how they would test things out. And I mean, how cool is that, you know?
And to your point, Roadkill Nights, the Hot Rod property, they team up with Dodge the weekend before, and they bring a little bit of that back. The Roadkill Nights event takes over that, is it M1 Concourse? M1 Concourse.
Yeah.
And Woodward Ave that's in front, they set up their drag racing, you know, and I've gone
and
out there with
Goldberg. Speaking of notorious, we know what that's notorious.
That's
for.
Right. Richard Rawlings.
Hit the Rawlings. Yes, I like that. In fact, this year, Ford is the official sponsor of the Woodward Dream Cruise, and their featured mark is the 66 Ford Bronco, the iconic Ford Bronco. And I heard they're definitely not going to give one to Richard to drive because they don't want to wreck it.
They don't want to wreck it. Although the Roadkill Nights is the weekend before is still presented by Dodge.
Right.
Speaking of themes, so Monterey Car Week, the Quail that we all love, that event, I believe the theme at the Quail, and there could be more than one, is Lamborghini, but not Muras and late models. It's just like it's like Yaramas and Europas, and it's all the funky Lamborghinis.
Like the four headlight cars.
The funky Lamborghinis.
I think the theme should be Lamborghini tractors.
That'd
be cool.
Yeah. There was on the racetrack, I think it was at...
why not the biggest gathering of LM4s ever? You know?
Yeah, that would be cool. All the trucks. I think...
Those things are badass.
Yeah. I love them.
Rennsport had a gathering of the Porsche tractors and raced them on Laguna Seca.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I remember that. I was there that year. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God.
It was a couple of years ago.
That was bitching.
Yeah, they were cool to see. They were not very fast.
No. They're really cool looking, though. Like, we saw some at Lyftgekult when it was on the back studio at, you know.
Yeah, but it's crazy to see, like, an old, giant, like, red vintage tractor with a Porsche sticker across the front of it.
Oh, it's like...
I didn't know Porsche made tractors. There's a Ferrari tractor that's been on Craigslist. But I don't understand that either. It's like, well, did they do it for fun just to get back at Lamborghini? But I've never heard of a Porsche tractor.
I never heard of a Ferrari tractor.
Neither have I. Feels like a jam.
Well, me neither. So I'm kind of curious.
It might be a home built Ferrari tractor, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. But it's got a long nose. It's like the wheelbase, the front wheels, and then there's like a nose on it that's like another 4 feet past the front wheels. It's really strange looking. I'll try to find it and send it to you guys, but still. It's still up. It's kind of unique.
There's an artist that we all know and we're familiar with. He did for about the last 4 years. He's been doing all the artwork for SEMA, for the SEMA show.
Mm-hmm.
Help me here, guys. His name's slipping my mind. Do you know who I mean?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Or are y'all just going, yeah, huh?
Yeah,
Kilrock.
No, you'll know it the second.
It's Ed Tilrock, you guys.
No, it's not Ed Tilrock. I'm not talking about I'm talking about the t-shirt art, Aaron. Not the art for the Heritage.
He does all the portrait illustrations and all that stuff.
Right. But for their t-shirt art. But anyways, he moved. He's in the process of moving to Kansas, where he bought like 8 acres, and he bought this mid-century modern ranch home with 8 acres of farmland, and he's building a big, huge tilt-up building there. But the guy that he bought the building from was like 105 years old or something when he died, and he bought everything. It was like a time capsule, you know, and this guy's really into that. And what I'm getting at is that he posted just the other day, he goes, wait a minute, I never knew about hot rod tractors. And he posted a photo of this really cool tractor that had a rake to it. And somebody said, well, you never been to a tractor pull? He goes, no, these aren't tractor pulls. These are like just hot rod tractors. And he goes, oh, now I got a whole new passion, you know. And it's really cool. And all of a sudden, I don't know where they came from. Maybe it was because people were in the pandemic and they looked in their barn and went, yeah, there's nothing else to customize. Oh, wait, there's the tractor over there. There was one with spindle mounts and big wheels and little wheels and just really some really cool stuff going on. And I'm not going to build one, though, guys. I'm just going to tell you that. I'm not going to build you one.
I know you're going to talk
these
about
big car collections, and I'm like, you collect tractors? He's like, dude, tractors are my thing. I'm like, are you kidding me? And they have this huge warehouse full of like these really amazing tractors. If you ever look into it, I got to say, there are like, once you kind of get down the rabbit hole for a while, you realize all the rare stuff and all the unique stuff. There were some spectacular vintage tractors. Jay has some too. You know, Jay has some steam powered stuff that really is really is unique and ginormous. I mean, some of these things are just massive in Leno's collection.
In fact, Aaron, I have looked at book after book of old turn of the century tractors and things like that for wheel ideas, because some of the gears on them and some of the stampings and stuff give you really good inspiration for wheel styles. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
Good.
So,
yeah.
But
that's cool.
But yeah, so Woodward Dream Cruise is back, all, you know, along with so many other events like, you know, Pebble Beach and Monterey Car Week. As we roll into the fall, there's going to be some other ones, I'm sure. I know Carlisle's back. It's you know, it's all – and man, it's busy. You know, you and I went over to Barrett Jackson.
Yeah.
And it was packed.
Yeah,
it was just absolutely packed.
It was busy. They definitely had a good sale rate,
man.
Oh,
my gosh.
If you've got a car and you're looking for to make some money, now's the time to sell. Even in just in the last 6 months.
It's a seller's market.
Yeah.
It's definitely a seller's market.
It's amazing.
But that's everywhere. I mean, it's like nuts.
Yeah.
You've been to my house, haven't you, Matt?
No.
Aaron, you've been to my house.
Nope.
I try to avoid it. It's a dangerous neighborhood. People drive their Tacomas to the living room.
I know. And, well, the house next door to me went up for sale. They didn't even put it. They put a for sale sign and said, coming soon.
Yeah.
And then they just had all these realtors come in and they said, oh, give us a bid.
I hope it's the guy that keeps bitching about your tree.
No, I wish it was. I'd love to. Yeah. I'd pay to get him out of there. But anyways, no, it's the other side. And the damn house went for $2,080,000. And I'm like going, maybe it's time to move to Arizona or something.
Yeah, right? You know? Jeez.
It's just nuts.
Everybody's moving to Arizona. Yeah, we just had our house, well, not officially appraised, but we just did new insurance on our house because our other insurance company dropped us, as I mentioned, because they don't cover fire anymore.
Yep, that's happening
so
in California.
We had to get new insurance. And oh, it's horrible, but I couldn't believe the value of our house right now.
That's nuts.
It's almost double. It's almost double, even on Zillow, which is kind of, you know, a rough guesstimate.
They're never right.
It's almost double.
Yeah.
It's like the square footage, the number of rooms, everything's off on my house, yeah.
Yeah, but Zillow's always been on the low end. So I got to say, you know.
You got to say what?
In our area and with the features that our house has. But should we? And I'm like, no. Where are we going to go? It's the same problem. Where are we going to go? You know?
Dude,
where are you going to go?
That is the problem. Where would you go? I wouldn't find another house with as much room with my dream garage, with everything else. And it's just, you know, it's crazy. But
we'd have to go to another state. And then, you know, you got all these states having water problems and all this weird politics stuff going around. And it's like, where would we go? Everything we have is here and our family's here. And, you know, it's we can't do it, but man, it's tempting. But I am getting rid of some of my cars and bikes. I just put a couple things out there today, and you look at bring a trailer, including your buddy's stuff. It's like everything is just going for bananas, man. Like, what the hell?
Well, people got money. They want to spend it on something that gives them enjoyment. And since you brought that up, Aaron,
definitely.
We've talked about cars that Adam Carolla, Matt. Aaron, you know, everybody's had on Bring a Trailer. We all love Bring a Trailer. That thing has just been, I mean, man, talk about a success, huh, Matt?
Yeah, and everyone's trying to replicate it.
Yes.
I mean, for good reason.
Well, there's the Radwood one now. There's
That's
the
right. There's the
but
cars and, I forgot the one.
Yeah,
Mike,
but
Mike Miro?
I remember DeMiro. When Bring a Trailer first started.
Doug DeMiro has one now.
Yeah.
He's got one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, remember when Bring a Trailer first started? And it was kind of like this cool little website you go to, and
it was
kind of
classified.
Like, yeah, it was kind of like the
auction.
It was no, exactly. It was. I was going to say it was like Craigslist for cars. You know?
And, yeah.
But you need a cool version of it, right? Because does anybody go to Auto Trader online anymore?
I don't think so. Not for this kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah.
No.
Or what's the other one? Like even Hemmings. Like what's going on with Hemmings? It just hasn't come up on my radar.
Search. Yeah, when I'm doing a deep search, I go to Hemmings or the other one. Yeah. But that's like a deep search.
Yeah.
If you want a Kawasaki KZ, you know, that's one of the places.
There that's you where go. You go to Hemmings? All right. So tell us about this
Cycle
car
Trader, you know.
Up on Bring a Trailer.
Yeah, so this buddy of mine has, and this guy's a really good friend of mine. In fact, he was my roommate for a number of years when we were in college. And we've had a lot of adventures together. And this car is an original owner. He's the first owner, 29,000 miles, 92 Mitsubishi 3000 GT. And when you go on to Bring a Trailer and bring it up, it'll show that it has those Boyd tri-fan wheels on it.
Right. So this is the black car with the billet wheels, old school Boyd billet wheels.
Yes. Which I already instructed him that they were on backwards.
Just
because they
curly
yes.
installed backwards in the photos.
And he was like, what? He had just put new tires on, didn't even pay attention, got home and he went, oh, man. And they were already there to take the photos and he couldn't do anything. And he goes, I know.
No.
So, but anyways, so here's the story on this car. Is that when we built a Luma Coupe, the famous Boyd-built hot rod.
That was the yellow one.
I was just going to say, the bright yellow one that Dave Sidorek bought.
Okay.
And then donated it to the Peterson Museum.
And then Tim Allen broke it.
Tim
Allen broke it on his TV show.
Boyd and I took it up to the Van Nuys Airport for the big edition of the show where he was supposed to race his hot rod he'd been building against it. And I walk over to the stunt guy who's driving it, and I go, okay, do not power brake this car. It's got a transaxle. It's got this. And he goes, oh, no problem. First thing he did was, oh, boom, and blew it up. And Tim comes over. He goes, oh, my God, they blew it up. So they had to, like, tow it and do all kinds of stuff. And
to be fair, Tim didn't actually break
it. No,
but it's more fun it's his show. It's a huge show.
And so anyway, so the car had all kinds of provenance and heritage. But when we built it, it originally was supposed to have a Cadillac Northstar motor.
Mm-hmm.
Cadillac backed out at the last minute. Harry Hibbler, who was the publisher of Hot Rod, came to Boyd 9 and said, what about a turbo 3000 GT motor?
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, Mitsubishi, you know, and it had to have a transaxle. But Mitsubishi came to us, and Joe Jacuzzi, who was with Mitsubishi at the time and is now the vice president of all GM media.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, we'll put this big thing behind it. And we were like, okay, great. And we built the car with the Mitsubishi motor. Then they sent over a Mitsubishi Montero, which was their SUV, and they sent over a Mitsubishi Diamante that they had imported from Japan that was all 3000 GT underneath. Couldn't buy them over here like that.
Those were cool in their day.
Yeah.
The Diamantes. Yeah, those were badass.
And it's got all-wheel steering, all-wheel drive, on-the-fly, mm-hmm. where you can change the ride and everything, way ahead of its time. And in the center console, it's got a factory cell phone, man.
Sweet.
You open that cell phone or that center console up, and there it is. So then they wanted to do a 3000 GT that would come tour with the cars because of the motor and everything.
Yeah.
So these three cars. Foose had done all the paint jobs on the cars. We lowered them, built wheels, and they all toured together. And, when it was done, they were going to crush everything. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. So I bought the Diamante, and my buddy Steve wanted the 3000 GT, so he bought it.
Okay.
So when you see the listing, it shows all the paperwork. It was bought directly from Mitsubishi North America.
Yeah.
And it was also the car they photographed for all the catalogs, and he got all the catalogs from Mitsubishi also. So it's kind of a cool little car. It's, you know, it's not the rarest car in the world or anything like that, but Steve's notorious for keeping really good care of his cars. It's got real low miles, and
I'm looking through the photos. The thing is really tidy. I mean, the headliner's perfect. I mean, you know, a couple things that delaminated. And obviously, being in Arizona, there's a couple little vents on the dash which are shrunk back, which you could actually heat those from the backside and get them probably back. But so this is the turbo or the non-turbo version?
I don't know. I think this was the SL, which was the non-turbo.
It's the SL. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think it is the turbo.
It's the 3-liter V6 non-turbo. Yeah.
Yeah. Non-naturally aspirated.
But
it's a nice car. If it only had different wheels, man, it would really be.
Hey, I don't care. Not my company anymore. Shit, you're right. Whoever buys it should put Bond Speed wheels.
Yeah, right.
So Bond Speed wheels on it. But no, it's really cool.
Some Bond Speed snowflakes.
I mean, if you want something to take to like Radwood or something, it's even got the right wheels, man.
That is pretty cool.
You'd pull in and everybody would be like, whoa, look at him.
Man, I remember you guys back in the day up Boys. You were all about hiding the lug nuts with the cap.
Yeah, well, everything was hidden lug nuts.
Everything was hidden lug nuts with the cap. Yeah.
Yep, that was the style back
then. And I tell you, it got dated quickly.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like electronics in a car. Like, you get in and you got the nicest stereo in the world in your car. 18 months later, you're like, Jesus, what is that relic in there? You know, it's like, it doesn't matter what it is. You think of like the coolest, like Alpine stereos in the day with the big green buttons on them. And now you're like, jeez, I can't believe you got that in there. It's like a Blaupunk.
It's funny you would say that because in getting ready to move everything over to my mezzanine, I've been going through boxes. And I found three giant, like big, huge boxes of stuff that I never used.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all brand new stereo equipment that was intended for my boat.
Oh, yeah.
And I, a friend of mine hooked me up with the Alpine stereo head unit.
Yeah, yeah.
And with all of the, I'm trying to remember what brand it was, but everything, amps, speakers, everything.
Like, was it Precision?
It was one of the big ones, but it's all still in the box. I mean, he shipped it to me. I got it. I was going to put it in the boat, and I couldn't get it in the boat before the season ended. So I said, I'm just going to wait and put it in next year. And then when the next year came around, he goes, oh, everything's outdated that I sent you. Let me send you everything new. And I forgot I'd pushed those way back to the back of a shelf. I put it, and it's like, man, somebody who's building like an air car would probably love it.
Because I know, it's like all brand new stuff. Like
never
in the
even
box.
Been turned on.
Never even put it. It's funny, though, that already he was like, oh, that was last year's project.
Exactly,
I've got new equipment for you already.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. Another car that's coming up for auction, I know you've got like a set, but is, do you remember Bud Brutzman did a show that we loved back in the day called Rides?
Yeah.
And it was a docuseries.
That was his like very first show.
Yeah, it was like one of the first really cool car shows. And it was a great docuseries, and he was able to reach out to a couple of the manufacturers and kind of get the inside line on something, follow them for almost like a year into it. And one of the last Shelby projects was the 2004, I believe, modern-day Shelby Cobra, the Roadster. It was codenamed Daisy, and they did the docuseries on it. And then later, it was in Ice Cube's movie, Triple X, the sequel, Triple X State of the Union. Like, he had it in a scene in that movie.
Okay.
Probably nobody cares about that movie, but more people are concerned about
movie.
What
was the plot line?
Yeah, I was just going to say, name one thing about that movie that you know.
Ice Cube was in it. See? There you go.
It had a 6.4-liter naturally aspirated V10.
Oh, really?
With 605 horsepower.
Okay.
In a car that was about the size and nearly the weight of a Miata.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was a little bit bigger, just, you know, a little wider, a little longer nose to fit it all in there.
This was a Mustang?
No, it was a Cobra.
Oh, a Cobra. Okay.
It was sort of the modern interpretation of a Cobra.
Yeah, it was that goofy looking Shelby car.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
It looked like a beefed up Miata.
It kind of did, but it had
I do remember this car. Know. Yes. Yep.
A word from our friends at Geico. Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Anyway, I got him, Matt.
He's it's like, it's a concept car Cobra.
Yes, yeah. It's a concept car
there you
Cobra.
Go, there you go. Yep. Yeah.
And
yeah.
They were going to make this around that Ford GT time, possibly have this and the Ford GT, because
right.
This car has something like a transmission or transaxle kind of thing, the way they mated it together like the Ford GT, right? So there was the engine was in the front, transaxle was in the back, and like a torque tube.
I was going to say, torque tube going
and then,
down.
Whereas the Ford GT was just, in the engine was in the back. So it was that kind of system. So it had some cool pieces on it. I believe there was only like three prototype engines made. Ford has two of them, one in this car. And this car was meant to be a concept car, but but pretty close to what the production was going to be. They drove it, they tested it. Carroll Shelby drove it, and on the TV
show. Did he sign it?
He did sign it, but because it was as close to production, it is a registered street legal car.
Wow.
It's the only one they made, and it's going to go up at Mecum in Monterey during Monterey Car Week. It's going to go up.
That's weird, Mecum. Really?
Yeah, wow, okay. I'm not sure why Mecum, but interesting. But Mecum has often done pretty well in Monterey.
They have.
And I don't know, because there's not a Barrett Jackson up there. Right, he doesn't do a Bear Jackson up there, and Mecum in Monterey oftentimes get some Lamborghini Miuras, and they got one of the most expensive Miuras of all time.
They do,
and this is a tough car. It's like, is this $1 million car? Is this
maybe?
Is this a $500,000 car? $400,000?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's. I just think right now where the market is, and this being a street legal concept car, you can drive. It has some, it's very well documented on the TV show. I think it's north of $500,000. It could be $1 million, but I think
$1,250,000. And the reason I say that is because there is only one. It's street legal. You can actually drive it. Mm-hmm. It's not one of those sold on a bill of sale. You can't ever leave your museum.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And as you said, Carroll had his butt planted in it.
Yeah.
He drove it. So that gives it more provenance. And if somebody's we know that there's guys out there that are huge Shelby collectors. And there's multiple of them. If there's only one, they're going to fight over it. You know.
And this isn't. This isn't the stunt car from a movie, right? This is a pretty...
Right.
Look, and we just saw some customs, like that 63 split window go for $396,000 with nobody even knew that car existed. Ring Brothers Grinch Camaro, cool car, $385,000.
Yeah. And that 289 Shelby for $895,000.
That was all in. That was like 907.
Yeah, like 907.
Yeah.
So
I think it's $1 million car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's...
Wow.
It's a $1 million car. So, isn't there like a Daytona Coupe version? They did another one.
I think they did, yeah. It's there's weird cars that you forget about. Remember right around that same era, they did one that was kind of their reinterpretation of the 56 Ford. Do you remember that one? It had a dual overhead cam motor in it.
Yeah.
It was cranberry red, and they showed it. Because I remember they invited me back to Detroit the year they debuted the Thunderbird because I was getting one.
Yeah.
And they had it sitting there, and I just remember going, oh, my God, this thing's so cool.
Yeah, you should have said, screw the Thunderbird. I'll take that thing.
Yeah, I wish I could have. But they did a really good job. And it's like, those cars kind of disappear. I kind of feel like that thing sold somewhere. You remember when the car companies – back in 08 when they were all like, hey, we're getting rid of all our concept cars,
That you bring up an interesting point, because this car that they built in 04 and it was going to be a production car after a few years, because of that crunch around 08, they canceled the project.
So,
we got four GTs before that, but this was going to be after that. There was going to be the GT, and then it was going to be this Cobra, and that's why it had some GT pieces on it, because they were already... in with that car,
Matt.
And then,
the three of us could buy it. We'll disassemble it. We'll have to get some investors from Menlo Park, and then we'll disassemble it, and we will reinvent it and bring it back as a production car.
Okay,
yeah, that's feasible, right?
Somehow, I feel like Bondspeed wheels are going to end up on this thing.
Now, wait a minute. Of course, I mean, Boyd wheels were on all the Cobras. I mean, on all the.
Vipers.
Thank you. Damn.
I was waiting to see if you'd get it.
It was a snake. I knew that. With some of these electric car companies that raised all the millions and now are going, it's like, why couldn't we?
Yeah, right.
We have to make an electric version, see?
Well, of course. Yeah. We say it's going to be electric.
I'm still a fan of the hybrids.
Well, that's what we're going to make. Is a hybrid.
I think the hybrid's the way to go. The pure electric, nah.
So, hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
Been around rock and roll a long time with your dad and with, everything going on. Did you know Neil Peart, the drummer from Rush? You ever meet him?
No. I've heard his name in my entire life as being like the best drummer in the world, but I don't think we've ever met. I've never seen them live. And I had one of my best friends, Gene, who passed away not too long ago. That was his favorite band in the world, Rush and Van Halen. That was it.
Yeah, a lot of people, big Rush fans. And growing up, I remember Rush was like, you know, huge. I never went to one of their concerts. I liked their music, but wasn't a huge fan.
I liked
you know.
Them too, yeah. I grew up on 2112, yeah.
And never knew Neil either. But I did know, as you said, he was like recognized as like the best drummer ever. And that... you know, he sang, he wrote, he was apparently very intellectual. And they said that was, you know, when he was away from the band, he was delving into things. And they said that's why some of his lyrics were so deep and everything. But the one thing I never knew about the guy that we just found out about was he dug cars.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Had one no hell idea. Of a collection, man. I had no idea. I mean, until it came out, you know, now Neil Peart from Rush did pass away back in January and of this year. And so now his estate is selling his car collection, which, excuse me, you know, we see a lot of car collections that are huge, massive. His consisted of 7 vehicles. Excuse me, got the hiccups all of a sudden.
All in silver,
but
right?
All in silver except for one.
Yeah, except for the Cobra, yeah.
Which is in black. And but you know what? If you're sitting around going, hey, I'm going to build me a little car collection, this would not be bad to have. Because his car collection, Matt and I are going to share some of the facts here. But, you know, he called them the Silver Surfers because all but one, as Aaron mentioned, were in silver. And that came from... He said that a lot of times when he was writing or he was just needed to get out, he would jump in one of his cars and just drive up PCH. Mm-hmm. And he said he would just look at the scenery, he would look at, and he would stop places. And, I mean, can you imagine seeing like a 64 DB5 just cruising up the coast, you know, guy just, you know, out for afternoon.
Right.
You know, or his Mira or his Jaguar or his, one of his Maseratis or a split window vet, you know, or 289 Cobra. I mean, talk about, you know, that's cool. And it said it gave him a connection. And so he started calling him his Silver Surfers because he could surf up the coast, look at the water, look at the scenery. And the very first car he ever acquired and said that since he was 16, since he got his driver's license, he said he was going to have one, was his 64 Aston Martin DB5.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's...
the pinnacle of British cars.
Exactly. You know, I mean, you think of it as like the James Bond car and, you know.
Yeah.
But... He did get one, and this one is estimated by Gooding when their sale in August up in Pebble Beach. They're estimating between $650 and $725 that car will hammer at. Then, in 2015, he picked up an authentic 64 Shelby Cobra 289, and this car, it's kind of like what we were talking about the other day, Matt, which is kind of that quintessential non-bulgy 427. It's just the, you know, that the gentleman sports car type of look.
Yeah, the
know?
Slab side.
Yes, slab side fenders, no oil cooler underneath, no pop out on the top of the hood. I mean, these things are real bare bones. We actually had one growing up, but it was an earlier one, one of four made at the factory with a Paxton blower. And
oh,
Dad
cool.
used to pick me up. He used to pick me up at the airport. His was white with black interior, and our friend Doug, we just got Dad delivered his new version of it. But I've always loved those little slab sides, the little 289s. They are really, really, really cool.
They are.
Really
and
cool.
This one, they're estimating $900,000 to $1 million. $900,000 to $1 million.
Yeah. And we just saw that's right on the money.
Yeah, exactly. Right on the money.
Yeah.
It's
now,
beautiful.
Now, Matt's
so
been
beautiful.
Around. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead. Aaron?
Oh, Oh no. I was going to say, you know, from the profile, you know, I apologize, guys. We're getting a weird delay, and then you guys speed up. It's very strange. But from the profile, they almost look like a 250 California Spider, little Ferrari. If you look at them, just from the profile with the vents and the fenders and, mm-hmm. you know, and the windshield and the slope, they have a very Ferrari-looking body line. It's just one more thing I really appreciate about these cars.
So, Aaron, thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, but I'm going to let Matt pick it up because I think he's a little bit more of an expert because he's been around so many of Adam's Lamborghini Miras.
Right, so he does have a Mira S, which is, you know, there's the P, the S, and the right. SV. Another silver car, gorgeous.
It looks great in silver.
Yeah, it really looks good. This one with the black interior, it's gorgeous. It's estimated at 1.2 to 1.5 million, and that's pretty accurate the way we're seeing Miras right now. They're starting to pop back up again.
This one's got those really nice Campanello knockoffs, too.
Yeah, those
are
really good.
Oh, nice wheels.
Such a good-looking wheel on that. Mm-hmm. And then the 65 Maserati Mistral Spider. And gorgeous little car, again, silver with the red interior, estimated at $575,000 to $650,000. It's a restored car. It's been in the collection for a little while. Really nice. What's interesting is he has a Jaguar E-Type. He has a 64 Jaguar E-Type with a 3.8 liter. Another silver car, red leather interior. But this one, I assume he really enjoyed driving because he did a few upgrades to it. Mm-hmm. He has a Tremec 5-speed transmission. He has a lightweight flywheel on it. It's a little bit easier to shift. Wilwood disc brakes, and he has some upgraded suspension components. So he kind of underneath freshened it up
a
little
bit. Kind of pro-touring.
Yeah, kind of freshened it up a little bit. Yeah,
you got to do, especially if you're driving down PCH. So if you remember, Dad has an XKE Roadster, but the 12-cylinder. Mm-hmm. And, man, he's done so much to that car to get it to stop.
Yeah, everybody said that.
To corner. And yeah, so let me tell you, he did all the right stuff to really make that a good driver's car because they're a great touring car, but the nose is so long, and the 6-cylinder is obviously a bit better because it's long.
Well, the thing about it is that they're, while we're waiting for Aaron to come back,
the nose is so long, and you got because you got to steer in and steer back out. It doesn't kind of come to center mm-hmm. like a lot of vehicles do, and with that long nose and the wheels are set into the body, they're really set in. So you want to put some spacers in and widen them up or get some offset. You know, it there's a lot of stuff, and he did it all right, man. I got to say, that car probably drives fantastic.
I mean, and that would make it a great car to have to drive.
Always blows my mind when I see these things racing. These guys just sawing at the wheel, especially at Goodwood. Oh. They're just at the Revival, and they're just chopping at this wheel, and they're sliding all over the place. And you're like, that thing doesn't stop at all. It handles for shit.
Nope.
They got to drive it three times as hard as the other
guy. Oh, my God. They're doing so much work in there.
Yeah. So and I think I've driven them that way too. don't tell Dad.
The next car blows me away because you could have gotten these 20 years ago for nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, there was a place. Do you remember a place up in Hollywood, just like out of Beverly Hills? There was this one like lot that had literally bumper to bumper.
Maserati Ghibli.
Yeah, for years, they just sat there in this lot, like a fenced lot.
Well, this is the SS. This is the 4.9 liter, so this is worth a little bit more money. They only made 425 of these, of the 4.9 liter. And I think he's only had this one since about 2013. Another silver car over tan leather. It's good-looking, and it's a good-looking 70s Maserati, especially when a lot of cars didn't look that good back then.
That's a good way of putting it.
It's the nurse shark of Italian cars.
Yeah.
Doesn't the nose look like a nurse shark?
Yeah,
you know, it does. Because they have those two little feelers.
Yeah.
And then the last car, this is a 63 split window Corvette, estimated $150,000 to $180,000. I don't know why, Brad, maybe you know. I thought these were a little bit more money, but this isn't a 427, it's a 327.
It's because it's a 327. It has, let me see one thing. Does it have the factory knockoffs? No, it has hubcaps. Huh. That makes a big difference if they came with hubcaps, and it is not even the fuel-injected car. So see, if it was a fuely car, it would have
so
been worse.
So it's junk.
More.
This one's junk. You guys can buy this shit.
Which you don't want anymore.
It's basically the entry level. But what I imagine,
he bought it in 2013. The band was really starting to die off by then. So he was just like, yeah, I don't want to get the big expensive one. No, the car's gorgeous. It's got great lines.
It's a quintessential split window Corvette. What I imagine is he probably said, I want one and I want it part of the collection. And so there was one available. It was the right color because it's silver with red. And he obviously likes silver with red. So,
Obviously, another tidbit on this car is the 63 split window Corvette was largely designed by our friend Pete Brock when Pete was a young designer at GM. I think maybe right out of school, he might have been.
Yeah, he worked with. I'm having problems today, man. I need to take some.
And he was on that team for the 63 split window Corvette. So that was one of his babies.
Yeah, it is the quintessential. It's my favorite, Corvette. I love those bulging fenders that that go the big peaks, and they're just gorgeous.
You just don't like this tiny engine, the shitty hubcaps.
I want a 427 car, man. I had one for a short time, and it was black with the red stripe and the side pipes, and it was loud and noisy.
It's interesting to think that this 63 split window Corvette is going to sell for $150,000. And a custom 63 split window Corvette just sold for $396,000.
Exactly. I'm going to make a prediction on these cars, though. Rush is such a popular band, and it's one of those bands that it's not like a headbanger band or anything. So you get a lot of accountants and CEOs that can go, yeah, man, in high school, Rush, man, And I think they're going to exceed their expectations on these cars.
I think they will. And interesting story is,
I hope so.
Up where I live in the Venice Marina area, there still is one of these. There's a restaurant, and then they have like a little music club, like no windows. And, like in L.A., it was always about if you go through the front door, that place is cheesy. You got to go through the alley, and you got to find the door with no sign on it. And, that used to be a thing. This is still like that. So you find the door. All you see is the one guy there, the bouncer guy, and you can go in and get a drink, but a lot of times there's a list of some sort. It's an invitation thing, or either a promoter's doing it or an event's doing it.
Sure, like CBGB was in New York.
Yeah. And the day Neil Peart died, obviously, the family was getting things in motion because it just had happened. But that night, hours after it was announced, the band, they called the place and they go, we just want the place, nobody in it. We just want to do our own thing. And just the band members all showed up in that place. And I only know it because I know the owner and I was there the next night. He was like, last night.
Well, how could they do that? Because nothing was open in California in January. That'd be illegal, man.
I was in that place when it happened. And there was only like six people in there, which is kind of,
it was a private party.
So the band was there,
and they
just listened to some music and told stories, and there was just one bartender working there for the night for them.
Yeah.
And it's just dark, and the red seats, and there's a little bit of a stage, and they showed up with a few, instruments and stuff just in case they want to riff a little bit, which they did. Yeah. And, told stories and had a night, got emotional. And
that's cool.
And and now I started thinking about it. The owner of that place is a car guy. He's a fan. He hosts like a cars and coffee kind of meetup, that kind of thing. And now I'm starting to think about it. It's like, I couldn't imagine. Maybe it was a little bit of a car show there that night with just the remaining band members.
They all showed up in their rides.
They, Who knows? I mean, you know, maybe they all just got a ride there, but knowing what they were going to be doing. Yeah. But
there were actually four Ubers sitting
out front. Yeah, four Ubers out front. Yeah. It was like, why is there four silver Prius? They got to be silver, yeah, though. Four
Send me any Uber as long as it's silver.
Yeah. But I couldn't imagine to be
even less now.
Yeah. Imagine being a fly on the wall of that place, or just being the bartender that night going, you know, just listening to the stories. But amazing. Well, it's going to be exciting to see this car collection up in Monterey. And
it's going to be a good year. We've seen prices going spectacular on Bring a Trailer, on Barrett Jackson. Mecum Indy did phenomenal. So I am really waiting to see what happens up in Pebble Beach, because that's going to be spectacular, I think, this year.
What do you think attendance is going to be like? Do you think everything's going to be packed or not?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think
so. I did talk to someone from SEMA about like what the new SEMA is going to look like. And the walkways, the halls, and you know, all the
they're going to be one way or something.
No, they're all going to be much wider. They're actually spreading things out. I'm not quite sure how they're doing it, how that doesn't screw up everybody's booth space. They're just lopping off like 6 inches of every booth, you know, so just to get another foot of space, but they're all kind of wider. And there's been a few changes to the booths. There's no international travel still, so there's not even going to be like an international buyer program that's going to be happening there. So,
So
that audience is going to be there. So that could effectively make it a smaller SEMA attendance-wise. And I just don't think there's going to be, you know, like for us, there's not going to be podcasting. There's no MagnaFlow podcasting stage. There's a much smaller, reduced, like, hospitality section, less gatherings, that kind of things. I think there's going to be far fewer, like, signing events, anything that's going to still generate a line and have people bumper to bumper, if you will. Just a little bit less of that. And what we're finding is a lot of the cars that are going to be showing up, from what I've been hearing from companies, is they're not just reaching out to the big builders. As a matter of fact, just the opposite, because some of the builders took some time off. And is a lot of really good builds, but from individual people and garage build stuff, some really kind of interesting stuff is going to be showing up. And it's not to say you're not going to see a Ring Brothers car or something like that there, you know, or I don't know, a Bobby Alloway if he's going to bring something. I'm sure you're going to see some of those things. But I think you're going to see builds, good quality stuff, but from people you haven't necessarily heard of before.
Yeah, Bobby Alloway, but it's the Bobby Alloway from Nebraska.
Yeah, probably, or, you know, yeah. So. He goes by Robert.
It's Robert Alloway.
Robert
Bob Alloway.
And then there's the Bing brothers from Pasadena.
Yeah, right.
And
Bracelet Brothers.
Yeah. Well, it's not all the knockoff guys. It's just not all the knockoff guys.
Well, maybe what we should do is do like a pirate radio. We go outside of town and we just broadcast in, and you know, like pirates.
Yeah, we can hang out at Super Hot Henderson.
Ooh, wait a minute. We could do a deal with the Conrad Hilton, the new hotel.
Yeah, the new one.
And we'll just sit up on top of the thing, just, you know.
I drove by that building. It looks fantastic, but there's like four names on it. I don't know what the hell it's called. There's
it's like Hilton, Resorts Conrad, International, Hilton, Conrad.
And there's like there's another one. There's another name on it. And then I read some press release going, this so-and-so is going to, it just opened, like, you know.
This last weekend.
Yeah, like a soft launch. I go, I don't even remember that name. Like, what name is it?
I know.
And it's one of three. So the other one is Virgin Hotel.
I went there.
Which was the Hard Rock.
Was the Hard Rock. It was still the Hard Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we
did all you go
it.
Over there?
I didn't go over there, but I saw it. I saw it.
What a disappointment. You know what? I've met Richard Branson. I admire the guy. And the brand and everything. And I really had high hopes for the Virgin Hotel.
Yeah.
And I went over there, and it just underwhelmed me. First
really?
Of all, the footprint of the Hard Rock's still there.
Yeah.
I mean, the casino, they kind of gave it an upgrade. But what's the most favorite thing about the Hard Rock Hotel?
Memorabilia.
Yeah.
No, the bar, I mean, you know, like bar.
Yeah.
The Circle Bar.
Yeah.
Because it was right there in the center. It was the hub of activity.
Oh.
Everybody hang out there. You could always walk in there and say, hey, how you doing? They got rid of that. Everything else is still there. All the restaurants and everything. Nobu's still there. The where Mr. Lucky's was. But that center area, they got like a wall that kind of like splits up the whole casino, and there's no flow. And then the other thing that bummed me out was Mr. Lucky's was my go-to place. His 24/7. You could go there at 3 a.m. after you've been out and go get breakfast or go get whatever. And so I said, let's just go over there. So we went over there, sat down. I ordered, I'll have your virgin breakfast, and it says bacon, eggs, hash browns. It comes and it's all like what I call chef style. The hash browns were like the size of a little golf ball.
Yeah.
And, in a perfect little thing, shaped like they cooked them in some little shape thing. The eggs, and I was just like, and there was like a tomato that was cooked. I'm not going to eat the cooked tomato, sorry. I mean, it's like,
you wanted the greasy spoon, diner style.
You wanted to soak up
the night before.
You would order breakfast and a cocktail.
Yeah.
Well,
to be fair to Richard Branson, I don't think he was that involved.
It's a licensed hotel. Mohegan Sun Casinos owns the casino.
Yeah, and somebody else was another money backer, private equity or something like that. And they just wanted a brand to associate with it, and they sat down with him, and they put that deal together. But I don't even know if he's...
Wait a minute. So you're saying he's like Trump? Yeah. So he's just licensing his name everywhere.
Licensing his name everywhere. And then there's a third one that I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's on the list of the hotels you can stay at. You can stay wherever you want,
I just want to say, I've been to the Hard Rock many, many times. I have used that hotel. I've abused that hotel. So it can never be a virgin.
Brad's done some nasty things in that hotel.
I've had big parties in that hotel.
I've only been there a couple times, but I'm looking at the photos online. Boy, that woodwork coming out of the ceiling is gorgeous.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful hotel. It's a beautiful hotel.
Wasn't it a lot darker in there? Like wasn't it more rock and roll? Obviously, but the color scheme now is really bright and light, right? That's a big change, isn't it?
Yes, a lot of white, a lot of real light woods. Now, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's a bitchin' hotel, and I looked at the rooms. The rooms are kick-ass.
Yeah,
and it could just be they got to get it up and going. They got to get it.
Yeah.
They might find out that more people complain about the hash browns being fancy, and they want them just, big. It's one of those where it was always my go-to. Well, I'll give it another try. Let's put it that way. Hey, we gotta go because I know that Aaron has to go get his Botox shots. Is that what you said you had to do?
Yeah, right. No, actually, I have a hair appointment up here.
A hair appointment.
Here, it's months in advance.
and Matt has to get his manicure and pedicure. So
I got to drive back to LA.
Fancy guys. Hey,
enough of Orange County for me.
I want to say two things before we go. One is, hey, everybody, go check out my buddy's 3000 GT. It's on Bring a Trailer until Tuesday at, I believe, 6 o'clock Pacific. The other thing is we got a lot of people in our audience that are old BMXers and that's my heritage. This weekend in Van Nuys, I am going up to the Valley Relics historic BMX get-together. And I've already talked to, Bob Harrell, my buddy, Eddie King, Tracer Finn, all kinds of guys that were pros back in the day. Everybody's going to be there. And so I will post some photos on my Instagram at Bradley_Fanshaw. And
of course, this will be after the fact.
That's what I'm saying. I just want them to know I'm going to post photos.
Yeah.
So you can go there and check it out.
So Brad will post photos. You'd be like, what is this crazy shit? And then on Tuesday when you listen to the show, you'll understand.
They're going to go, oh, my God, where was this? This is so cool. So
yeah. All right. Well, maybe we can get the show posted a day early so people can hit that auction.
That'd be a good idea. Let's try and do that.
Let's try to do that.
All right, everybody.
Thank you so much. Of course, we're at shiftandsteer.com. You can follow me at Motorator on social media. Thank you.
Double A, Ron?
Yeah, you can find me at Aaron Hagar all over the internet, and the Rat Runner's Garage is my old, unupdated website.
Isn't that funny how we all launch websites and then they sit there?
Yeah. I'm like MySpace. And you can find me on my MySpace at Aaron Hager.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, on MySpace.
I put in an effort to revamp everything. That's my goal for the next couple of months.
I knew it was outdated when I went somewhere the other day and it said, hey, check out my band on MySpace, Brad and the Muppets or whatever. And I was like, oh man, that was so long ago.
Yeah.
Watch, somebody's going to Google Brad and the Muppets. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to Shift and Steer, and we'll be back next week. Thank you.
Cheers.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.